all of this time has been me trying to think of something to say in the intro and coming up with absolutely nothing.
Get one of those like random word generators. Feed it a prompt.
Yeah, maybe I can code like an AI powered intro creation engine.
Yeah.
It just tells me what to say every week.
Absolutely, I reckon you could do
it. Just get it to write your whole review. Why not?
At this point, year four of the podcast, I feel like it probably could. Welcome to Unmuted Unmastered. I'm Will, and this is the internet's most well-travelled music podcast. On the show this week, I'm joined by James.
Hello.
And Elle.
Hiya.
In this episode, we're going to be reviewing the new album from Vacations. We've got the upcoming releases you need to know about, but first, the news. James, what have you got for us this week?
I have a very short one, I think. But we seem to talk about Elton John all the time, especially when Tom was on the podcast. We talk about Elton John a lot, so I thought I'd bring him back up. So last week, it would be last week when this comes out, on Monday, Elton John achieved EGOT status. That's EGOT, Emmys, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. So he's got all four of those. He joins the likes of Audrey Hepburn, John Legend, Jennifer Hudson, Whoopi Goldberg, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and more. He just won the Emmy on Monday for Outstanding Variety Special for Elton John Live, Farewell from Dodger Stadium. And yeah, a pretty good farewell, I would say. So yeah, he won an Oscar for The Lion King. He won, I think, like 6 Grammys. So yeah, a lot of Grammys. I won't go through all of those. And then the Tony he got for a musical called Ada. So yeah, that's how he got all four. Well done to him. Not sure there's much more to say to that. Yeah, it's a good farewell. I mean, it seemed like he was going and then he came back and he was going, but I think he's really giving up now. I mean, retiring. But yeah, we'll see.
He's lost the will to go on. Elton John's finally tapping out.
I think, to be fair, because I went to his very extended farewell tour, and the date I went, it was rescheduled because of COVID. So I feel like it was already a long farewell tour, and then I think it got even longer because of COVID, and then he was just about, and everyone was like, you know, like when I saw him, it was a really good gig, like it was good crack and all, but there was a point where I was like, I don't think this man should be on stage. Like, I think he just needs to sit down. Like, there was this bit, like, right at the end where he's singing Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, and he's on, like, a, you know, like a travelator that you get in supermarkets. It's like a, or like an airports where it's not an escalator, it's just a thing. He's on that, and he's going back, and then he, like, disappears off stage, and then he appears on, like, the big screen, and genuinely I was like, this looks like he's died. Like, they made a real choice with how they've staged this. You know, luckily he hadn't, but you know, it's nice that now his tour is finally over. He's rounded off his career, and you know, he's got the set. It feels fitting.
Yeah,
still not been Unmuted Unmastered album of the year though, has he? Failed on that one.
He hasn't had a chance.
I'm sure he's kept awake at night over that.
What would that make this? You got or like E-goot?
E-gout.
Oh yeah, gout, I guess.
E-gout, that's e-gout. The one.
That sounds, you know, lovely.
That's it.
Right, let's get on to our review for this week. We're looking at No Place Like Home by Vacations, released on the 12th of January 2024 on No Fun Records via Network Music Group. The album's 10 tracks long and 32 minutes. On the album's Bandcamp page, it says, quote, following 2020's Forever in Bloom LP, No Place Like Home finds the Newcastle DIY outfit expanding their trademark melodic indie rock pop to new sonic horizons. produced by lead singer Campbell and John Velasquez. It promises 10 shimmering tracks brimming with indie pop hooks and just a touch of bittersweet sensitivity. Quote, I had this loose concept of No Place Like Home being an Americana-influenced album, Campbell says of the album's sonic inspirations. I wanted to incorporate more pianos, acoustic guitars, Nashville tuning, and country-inspired lap steel, but then also bring in drum machines and synths, and finding a mix between the two. So that's what the Bandcamp page says about the album. What did we think? James, as far as I know, you're the only one who hasn't listened to Vacations before this week. What did you think?
Yeah, so I did listen to a bit of their stuff before going into the album. And, I mean, the album, it was nothing unexpected, really. I thought the album was good. The first time listening to it, I wasn't too impressed, I think. Mainly because it kind of sounded very similar throughout, and I kind of wanted more variety. But as I listened to it again, I think it's still partially true that it didn't have much variety, but I noticed more like subtle differences, which were enjoyable. I think the vocals were sometimes an issue. Like sometimes it felt kind of low energy, and I think it was the vocal tune that did that. Like at the end of line, sometimes the vocals would go down rather than up, and it just lost a bit of energy. And yeah, it just didn't help the whole feel of the song. Saying that, I did often enjoy his vocal tone. It was just that tune that didn't give it justice, really. But yeah, some of the album had, you did feel that soul in his voice, which I did enjoy. I think lyrically it was decent. There were some moments which I thought the lyrics were nice little tidbits, really. But sometimes they were just kind of or I just straight up didn't like them. Guitars was sometimes good as well, but I think they were some of the major things that made the song sound similar, really. You had the same kind of rhythm played on the guitars and like the same kind of two notes, so it's either like an octave or just like a harmony that's alternating on the guitar. And yeah, there were points where it would do it one song and then the next song was basically the same thing. I think the band really stood out when the bass got a bit more room to breathe, the bass guitar. And speaking of low end, I think when the songs came into the chorus, when that low end really built up a bit more, that's when the songs felt like they opened a bit more. Because sometimes I felt like the music was a bit muddy. I think those choruses helped, but also turning the volume up a bit helps as well. I feel like it's just one of those albums. Like sometimes the band felt far away somehow, and the vocals felt far away and felt muffled, but just turning the volume up a bit, I think, helped that a bit. So yeah, I still have mixed feelings on the album. Like, I think I'd have to listen to it a couple more times, really. But right now, I just feel it's okay, it's good. I can listen to it again, but maybe just like a few songs every now and then, rather than the whole thing, because the whole thing felt like a bit too similar, really.
L, what did you think?
I really liked this album, but I would say that I think part of that enjoyment comes probably from a slight sense of nostalgia, in that, you know, I remember listening to Vacations back when I kind of like first started uni back in 2015, 2016, and they just had a couple of EPs out. And so it's always nice to kind of revisit that kind of sonically. And it is very kind of indie pop. I don't know necessarily that I'm getting a huge Americana influence like their Bandcamp is saying. I'm not really, it's definitely not something I noted down. Maybe that's just me. But to me, it feels like a solid kind of indie pop record, which I really like because I love that kind of stuff. And so it hits those points for me. I do agree with James that it's not the most exciting or innovative album. You know, there is a kind of consistency to each track where I'm like, oh, this is like a decent track. When you've got that across the whole album, I'm kind of like, well, where was that kind of journey? I felt like maybe it would have benefited from a bit more variety. That being said, it is a short album. It's around 30 minutes. And so I kind of let that go a little bit. I think if it was any longer, I would get frustrated with the kind of lack of more intense variation between tracks. That being said, there are still kind of distinct moments from track to track, which I enjoyed. Lyrically, yeah, again, there were bits that I picked out that I really liked. There were some, I think what they do nicely with the lyrics is within each song, they'll kind of very much view it as its own thing. So there'll be a kind of metaphor that's played with within that song and the kind of lyrics tease on that. And I enjoy that it's not kind of just like random phrases scattered across the album where you're like, what was happening? It feels like each song was written as its own thing. Whereas sometimes I feel like I'm listening to albums and I'm like, oh, it feels like they just shoehorned this lyric in because they wrote it and they were like, we want this on the album, so we'll just like put it on this song, but it doesn't work with the song. And that just frustrates me. I didn't find that here. That means that, yeah, they're not like the most kind of insightful lyrics ever. There are some kind of nice moments. But yeah, I'm not necessarily kind of looking for that. I think it's an album that I will enjoy more in summer. I know that they're an Australian band, so for them, it is summer. And so I think that kind of makes sense for the release. It feels like a summer record. And I think this is one that I will definitely revisit then, because it feels like the kind of thing that I will have on, you know, driving to the beach, or, well, being driven to the beach. I don't drive, but, you know, getting the bus to the beach, or like summer barbecue background, having that kind of energy. I think it's nice. And I think that then plays into what you were saying, James, where sometimes the mix, it feels like they are slightly distant, slightly far away. I feel like it then lends itself to that kind of slightly haziness of summer, that kind of energy. I did also like conceptually the idea of no place like home and how they kind of explore that and explore identity and those kind of things. They're kind of good little thematic elements that come through. So overall, yeah, I really liked it. It's not, I don't envisage this being like a standout album of the year for me. I know we're kind of, you know, we're still in January. Maybe I should, you know, hold my horses. But it's like a decent record. And whilst I would have liked a bit more variety within it, I do still think I will listen to this a lot when it gets warmer.
Yeah, I guess I was introduced to Vacations in a similar way to UL, where I heard their Vibes EP early on in my uni experience, and that kind of got me into them. And since then, they've changed quite a lot, because that EP really had this kind of like stoner, laid back, indie rock kind of feel to it. And they've kind of emerged, like when they've started releasing albums, into this kind of very much pop rock type band. And I like the band because it's not hugely adventurous, but I just think they do it very well. And that's what I really liked about their last album, Forever in Bloom. This is very much a small evolution from that. It sticks quite close to it. I do think that the shorter length on this plays to its strengths, where this one is 30 minutes instead of the 50 of the last one, which I felt like could have had more cutting down done on it. But I was really hoping, because I saw the shorter length going into this, I was hoping that that would mean basically it's way more consistent. I still felt there were a few tracks where I thought, oh, this doesn't quite hit the same highs as some of the other ones. But I do think they're able to hit those highs in a wider range of kind of tones across the songs. So I think the title track's one of my favorites, and particularly lyrically, I think that one actually is really standout, and I think has some really nice moments on it. Whereas on the previous record, I thought it was mostly the kind of poppier cuts that I really, really enjoyed. I think they work the synths into the songs a bit better. They feel more integrated. They have like more interesting sounds, I think, chosen. So yeah, I think this album is actually a really good pop rock album. I mean, it's not got, you know, as much to analyze maybe as some other records that we generally do, because it's kind of not aiming for that. It's aiming for that summery kind of, that summery sound. And I can kind of see where you're coming from, James, in terms of it maybe seeming a bit samey. But for me, I was just kind of happy after, 3 years to get more of this kind of style of Vacations music, because I just really enjoy that sound. And I thought they brought enough new on this record to keep it interesting. So yeah, I thought it was very much enjoyable.
What I will say is that in that Bandcamp description, it says, what's it say? 10 shimmering tracks. I would say that is the best adjective, like shimmering. That is how I feel the album sounds. And I don't know quite how to articulate it beyond that. I think there are certain kind of sonic elements that sound shimmery. Don't know how to like explain that further. I think particularly on Arizona, which is an instrumental track, there are kind of bits where I'm like, oh, that feels shimmery. But I think also that plays into kind of what I was saying about it feeling, you know, like a summer album, where it's that kind of, where everything is slightly sun-kissed and you almost get like that shimmer on everything. That's how the album feels, which is like nice. Like I like that as a kind of thing. I think definitely when I'm not, you know, bundled up in five layers, I'll enjoy that more. So I think it's, yeah, I like what you said, Will, where it's like they're not doing anything kind of super out there or whatever, but what they are doing, they do well. So if that kind of vibe is what you're looking for from an album, then I would definitely recommend this one, because it hits those points really effectively. And it's, yeah, shimmering.
Yeah, I think Arizona hits the shimmering thing really well. And leading into the beginning of Close Quarters with the piano chords and like the all of the synths and the sounds going on behind it. And even just the whole track, like in the chorus, there's like this, I don't know what's going on, but it sounds like a harpsichord or something. I think it's like a synth part layered up with a guitar element. And it all does have that very bright kind of sheen to it. And then in the final chorus, you get like the, like just a string, single string note kind of synthy sound that kind of builds up the energy even more. So yeah, it really does fit that kind of shimmering tone, and which I think is going to work very well for kind of a hazy summer. I want to pull us to the title track, because I think lyrically this was the one that I thought was the strongest. I think across the album, like, there are kind of moments where I think, oh, that lyric really hits. And there are some songs like Over You, where I think, oh, this is a bit kind of straightforward and I've heard this before in terms of the lyrics. But No Place Like Home, I really loved the theme, where it's talking about kind of thinking about leaving a relationship and being conflicted and not knowing what to do and not really being able to explore those emotions, because the moment you kind of do anything about it, it makes it obvious and it kind of ruins everything by default and it takes the option away from you. And I mean, the opening lyric, "Go slow, there's no place like home," I really liked. Like, it's like him setting up, right, don't do anything too rash, like don't take this too quickly, make the decision. And then the other lyrics I really like, "Change course, sail away from your arms, it's not safe here anymore," like kind of setting up the case for why maybe you do need to go, like it's not, like trying to give himself the reason. And then the other one was at the end of the second chorus, he sings, "Walking on a tightrope, I'll keep my thoughts close," of like, yeah, I can't think this too loud because I'm in such close proximity to this other person, like they'll know what's going on in my head and I can't, like that. I just really liked that theme. I thought that was, even though they've only got like the two verses and they're quite short and there's not really all that much in the chorus, like they got a lot across and they dealt with a lot of ground there.
And I think it comes in a good place after the first two tracks, which are a bit more upbeat, but this one is a bit slower. It starts off a bit slower and that, yeah, relays the point of like, go slow, and just taking it slow, which I thought was good. And then it gets into a more like ethereal, atmospheric thing, which didn't do it for me like first time around, but then I started to enjoy it a bit more.
Yeah, I thought this would be one where you'd enjoy it more because it does let the bass kind of drive the nature of the track and leaves more space for the kind of synth pads and other parts to come through on it.
I really enjoyed this track as well. I think it works really well as the title track. It's because I think it captures quite a lot of what I think they're trying to say across the whole album, with that kind of push and pull of wanting familiarity and like a sense of home, and then feeling like actually you need to change something, or things have already changed, and that kind of challenge you have with those conflicting things. And yeah, I also thought, like you said, well, lyrically this one is really strong. I think also like the "there's no place like home" kind of phrase, for me, I always think of, you know, like the Wizard of Oz and the idea of home being actually the thing you wanted all along and all of that kind of thing. So to have that then contrast with the chorus where it says, you know, "we have to sail away from your arms, it's not safe here anymore," that kind of idea that actually this sense of home that should feel like the ultimate safe space actually doesn't anymore. So it's a no place like home. It's like, oh, well, that isn't actually what home feels like anymore. But because there's no place like home, you're kind of like, well, where do I go from here? Because there's no place like it. So I don't have an alternative to go to where I will feel that safety. So you're kind of a bit stranded, which I think then plays nicely into kind of other tracks across the album. So like Midwest, where it's kind of got this idea of a kind of movement and travel, and I think kind of like long distance relationships and that kind of thing, and that idea again of, you know, what is home, where is home, and all of that. I think it's just captured really well. And I like that as the title track, I think No Place Like Home really succinctly takes that concept and goes, here, really clearly, this is the central conflict we're looking at.
Yeah, on Midwest, I didn't think the overall lyrical theme was all that exciting. But I thought there were quite a lot of nice kind of lines within the verses, and particularly that first verse and the way it's delivered, I really enjoy. Like, there's just something about it's like slightly snappier in the way that he's saying the lyrics. And just generally, I mean, this song has a great bass line. I really, really like the bass in it. And I really like in the intro where you get that synth chord, that sound with like the slight kind of, it sounds like kind of a unison detune situation. It just goes with the bass really well and becomes fused together and makes a lovely sound. And yeah, the only one thing other than, I guess, maybe wanting something a bit different in terms of theme was the last line in the chorus on that track. I felt like left me wanting a bit, like, what is it? It's like, because I miss you and I don't want you to go. It just felt a bit plain coming at the end of it. Like, I think maybe they're going for like a kind of rootsy earnestness with their Americana theme, but I think it just came across as like, we couldn't think of anything better to put here, so we kind of left it at this, you know.
Yeah, I think especially because the chorus opens with "we're starting at the finish line," which is a nice little kind of play on words type thing, and then to kind of end it on, "yeah, I don't want you to go," it's like, oh, okay. I feel like, you know, you'd built quite a nice idea and then they kind of let it kind of drift away from them. But yeah, there are moments that you said, well, where I'm like, oh, that's a nice little kind of turn of phrase. So I wrote down the lyric, "I'm hopeless but maybe romantic," which I liked as an alternative to "a hopeless romantic." I liked that kind of splitting of it and kind of changing the meaning then. And yeah, sonically, I just really enjoyed this one. I think lyrically, yeah, it's not the most standout, but sonically, I liked it. And I liked how it then goes into Arizona. I think those two together, like sonically, they're just an enjoyable listening experience. Although I was then curious, I was like, is Arizona in the Midwest? Because Our Love With You I knew of the Midwest in the States, but I didn't actually know like what it encompassed. So I Googled it. Turns out Arizona is not considered the Midwest, and the Midwest is way more east than I thought. So that's just a little fun insight into, you know, a misconception I've held my whole life. But I think, yeah, these two tracks together are a nice little pair for just like a sonically good time.
I guess partly the whole concept of the album is kind of a road trip, right? Which is maybe what they're trying to hint at with the Americana thing, because I don't think sonically it sounds like an Americana record.
Funny, so. I don't know where that Americana thing comes in, apart from like they mention American places.
Yeah. It opens with Next Exit, so it's kind of using the motorway or freeway, is that what they call it in America?
As highway? A freeway.
They're using large roads with exits as a metaphor there, and then you get them talking about different places in America, so it definitely feels like they're kind of throwing in elements of them being on tour into it.
Yeah, I wonder what Close Quarters is about then. Traffic jams,
stuck in a car with someone.
Yeah, for me, Midwest also has its like its lyrical positives in the verses, but yeah, in the chorus, it's about that low end coming in and opening the chorus up for me. Like I mentioned, the bass is good as well. Yeah, but yeah, I think there's some good things with the verse and some good things with the chorus, but maybe not at the same time.
We're talking about interesting lyrics and stuff. Terms and Conditions was an interesting choice for a lead single from this record, but it was one of them. I think just because the band really liked the song and they wanted it to come out as a single to give it a bit more prominence. I like the extra elements they add around the guitar and the vocal, both of which I think are really good in and of themselves, with the kind of bird song and the synth pads to flesh it out. And then when the drums and bass come in, they're really powerful. But I don't know if anyone else read about where this song came from. This was when it was released as a single. Their lead singer was saying that he was diagnosed with pure OCD, which is apparently like a rare mental health condition. And it kind of like as once he got diagnosed and he started to understand what that meant, he started to realize like how much of his like mannerisms and behaviors were all kind of down or like influenced by this thing that he hadn't known about. And so that's, I think this song kind of imparts that kind of feeling of everything being like shifted and revealed to you and your behaviors kind of being seen in a different light in an interesting way. I don't know if it necessarily comes across really clearly unless you kind of know the background context, because I don't think I really clocked it until I'd read about it elsewhere. But I think once you do know, it ends up being a really strong track lyrically.
Yeah, I think I've got to listen to it again then. I didn't know that. But I did feel like the vocals actually had a bit more emotion in this one, and it felt more so soulful, and yeah, you can feel the emotions more. I enjoyed the harmonies as well. I felt like I was swaying along with it, and I enjoyed that bassiness again. And then, yeah, these instruments begin to like slowly fade in and create this real atmosphere. Which I don't know if that has anything to do with the lyrical theme or anything. I'll probably have to listen to it again, but read into that if you want to. And then there's some nice horn bits as well. There was one or a pair of lines that did bother me though, and I'm still trying to figure out why. But it was I can't think straight. Yeah, I have 20/20 vision. Oh, I can't think straight. Yeah, I have 20/20 vision. I know, it just sounded a bit off when I listened to the song, but maybe I need to listen to it again. But otherwise, yeah, I thought it was a cracking song.
Yeah, I also didn't know that context. And I think I'll definitely go back and listen to it with that context. But I did enjoy the song, like, even before I kind of knew that. I think it's like you said, it's kind of interesting sonically. There were kind of lyrics that I thought were really clever. I think if I go back now and listen properly, I'll probably find more bits that I enjoy kind of knowing that meaning behind them. The one that I really like is because the song itself is called Terms and Conditions, which automatically kind of inspires certain ideas and associations. But then the way it's actually said within the song is, I'll play hide and seek on your terms despite my condition, which, again, like the one I mentioned earlier, I like when they were kind of just like playing with a phrase like that. So like earlier with the hopeless romantic one, I just enjoy that. I enjoy like a bit of wordplay. I just think it's just scratches a little itch in my brain. But that being said, James, I do agree with you where I was like, I don't know if like I'm just not getting the I can't think straight yet, I have 2020 vision lyric. It felt to me, I was like, am I missing something with that? Because I was like, as a metaphor, I kind of understand where they're coming from with the idea of, you know, you can't think straight, your head's not in the right place, or you're not able to kind of make perfect sense of something. But meanwhile, like vision wise, you're like, oh, I'm able to see perfectly what's happening. I just can't necessarily like make sense of it in my head. Which I was like, oh, I do. I kind of get it when I kind of break it down like that. But I think especially initially, I was like, oh, what? and I think it's one where the more I thought about it and tried to kind of apply my own meaning, I was like, okay, yeah, I can kind of, you know, maybe get it. But there's still a part of me that's like, I feel like I'm missing a trick. Like, is there something behind that lyric that I just don't understand? But yeah, but beyond that, I did enjoy this one as a track. And yeah, like I said, there's kind of there are other lyrics within it that I thought were really cleverly done. But I think kind of the one that, the song that kind of cemented lyrically, I was like, oh, that's a really kind of, I guess, like poignant one of doing it, is actually the next track, the final one, which is Lost in Translation, which has some kind of, I guess, like more cliche elements. So it says kind of, hello, stranger, for a minute there, we got lost in translation, which is not like the most, you know, original turn of phrase or whatever, but it captures what they're trying to say very effectively. But what I liked was the kind of later on within it. So it talks about kind of, if it all goes up in flames, what will be left of us? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And I really enjoyed that. Again, it's kind of like play where it's like, if all goes up in flames, which again is like a phrase commonly used. But then the kind of play on then that kind of funeral element of ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and how fire produces ash, I was like, oh, there's just something nice that's kind of all captured there, which I just enjoyed the way they'd picked out those phrases in that kind of way. And also the one, it just kind of made me a bit emotional, is the kind of last verse where it says, even when you're on the right track and you still effort up, if there is a God, I'm sure they'll forgive us, which I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting them to hit me with something like that in the final track on what's, you know, a shimmery album. Because it's just, I think, you know, across the album, it talks about kind of journeys and are you on the right track? Should you be taking like a different route, or, you know, connections are breaking down, all of that kind of stuff, I think, is explored across the whole album. So then to kind of end on the idea of, you know, even if you make a mistake, it's going to be all right. If there's a God, I'm sure they'll forgive you. Like, there's just something about that where I was like, oh, okay. Now I feel less, you know, existential about it all.
One of my biggest hang-ups with the album at the moment, and maybe my opinion will change over time, is that it ends on too quiet a songs. I'm still not quite sure how I feel about that, because I feel like this kind of album, I want it to kind of end high, so I kind of immediately want to go back and hit play and start listening to it again. Like, I mean, listen to The Promise Rings, Nothing Feels Good, for like the prime example of that, where you get to Forget Me, it like absolutely goes in and like just try and stop going back to the beginning. And and doing it again, like it's like feels like such a ride. Whereas this one, it feels like, okay, we've reached the end now, and now it's time to move on. Like, I don't know, for such a summary album, it's an interesting way to close out. I like the sound of the track, and I liked that they kind of kept the kind of song part of it short and sweet, and then they had like a longer extended instrumental outro that kind of built sonically on what they were doing, but kind of left the song element of it behind, and just kind of felt like it gave some kind of finality to the record. But yeah, still not sure about how the album just kind of slows down at the end rather than picking back up and ending on a high note.
Yeah, maybe some of the songs earlier could come towards the end, maybe. But maybe that'll mess up their road trip feel. Yeah, Lost in Translation, I didn't note it down for its lyrical content, but the general tone of it, his vocal tone is really lovely in this. And similarly, the instruments as well were lovely. And especially like the low horn at the end, it's very brief. And if I was picky, I wish it was a bit louder just to shine a bit more. But yeah, that was nice. I think lyrically, Off Season was the one for me. Because it kind of touches about losing someone and then trying to put a brave face on and kind of being in denial about losing them. Yeah, I thought it was just kind of poignant. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Off Season was actually one that I thought was a bit weaker. That and Slow Motion, I felt like, were the tracks that didn't really hit for me. On Off Season, I appreciated they were kind of trying to do something different, and I liked the jazzy drum fills that came in every so often, and they had some horns that went along with it. Like, it was like, okay, we're going to a very different place here than we've been so far. But yeah, maybe I'll give it another listen with that in mind and pick the lyrics apart a bit more.
Yeah, I might be reading into it too much.
Maybe I'm not reading into it enough. I do want to hit on the opening track, Next Exit, before we finish, because this came out as a single last year. I think it was the first one off the album, and I really, really like this song. It's grown on me quite a lot from when it first came out. I thought, oh, this kind of more Vacations and doesn't really match the heights of the last album, and now I think it's up there for me. I just love the tone of the rhythm guitars on it. Like, they just sound like really nice, and they've just kind of perfected that indie pop like strummings sound. And just like little elements in it, like the lo-fi breakdown in the final chorus, and then when the instrumentation does come back in, there's like the extra synth riff to really build on it, and the through line of the metaphor. I mean, you know, it's maybe not the deepest metaphor, but I think it works really well here. And it just comes together in like a really solid pop song.
That, yeah, the strumming on the guitar is something I'm really jealous of, because like how they were flicking the wrist, it's kind of like inherited from funk guitar, and it's just like really hard to do, but it just sounds so satisfying. Just like those really fast strums up and down. Yeah, it's just really nice.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one as an album opener as well. I do get what you're saying with where the album closer, it does feel like it kind of fizzles out. But I think this one as an album opener is really nice in kind of setting up sonically what's going to happen across the album. And also lyrically as well, like opening with the verse, I'll give this one more try before I take the next exit off the highway into a different life. Which, firstly, I was like, oh God, like, initially I was like, that sounds dark. And then I was like, no, he's just talking about like starting afresh. It's not like as dark as I was thinking.
Calm down.
But I was like, oh, it actually does kind of set up a lot of like the themes on the album of like trying to make something work for the last time before going in a different direction. And also the idea of kind of movement and travel, like that comes up a lot, like we've said, across the album in different ways. So I was like, oh, it does kind of immediately place you where they want you to be for the whole album, which I always enjoy from an album opener. I like when I'm like, oh, I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, all of it adds up. So that's, you know, that's just fun. And yeah, I just kind of enjoyed this one just as a track. I think it's just quite fun to listen to. It's got that kind of shimmer to it. And I think I think this to me is one of my favorites off the album. And in a way I'm almost like slightly like, oh, they started off really strong and it kind of just fizzles out towards the end. But I do think overall, I do still really like the whole album. But this to me is, yeah, one of the better tracks on it.
Right. Should we wrap up the review by ranking the album?
You want?
For listeners, the album's current album rankings currently stand as at number one, Sprints with Letter to Self. Where would we like to put No Place Like Home by Vacations? Personally, I'd put it above.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have kind of history with the band, so maybe that's skewing my opinion in terms of how quickly I've latched onto the album. But I feel like this week there were more lyrical things I could pull out, even if I'm like very critically and trying to critically analyze the album. I can just see myself coming back to it a lot more. I don't know that I'd say either of the albums were all that like daring in terms of what they were trying to do. They were both quite set in their particular genres, so ultimately it kind of comes down to which genre do you prefer? Is it the alt rock of last week or the indie pop of this week? But I just feel like for me this album kind of hit on more emotional notes.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. I think just my mood and the season has really affected my listening experience this week, and yeah, I don't think that's gonna change anytime soon. So I would pull it at two, but yeah, I totally understand one as well.
Yeah, I personally agree with you, Will, and I'd imagine there probably is like a fair bit of like nostalgia swaying my opinion there. But I do think it's just, like you said, the albums are similar in terms of kind of what they're doing. And so it is like a personal preference thing. And, you know, I owe it to Teenage Me to go with the indie vibes. And I just think, yeah, like you said, Will, I think I will re-listen to this one more, especially come summer.
Yeah, I think this will definitely be a big summer album for me. I can just see, like, I mean, the singles, obviously, Next Exit, Midwest. But also, like, No Place Like Home, I can imagine putting on the end of a party playlist. Close Quarters, like, I can imagine just listening to over and over again if I'm in the mood. Like, yeah, it's got the tunes. Right, Vacations, No Place Like Home is our new number one album.
That's two number ones in 2 weeks.
What if it only goes up? All year. Right, upcoming releases. What's coming out this week that you need to know about? First off, Future Islands, the synth pop band, are releasing a new record. It's called People Who Aren't There Anymore. It's got at least one of their singles that they released originally that seemed like it would just be a one-off, King of Sweden, which is really, really good. So I'm interested to hear what else they've done. They're just like just a really good band, Future Islands, so... yeah, if you're into some synth pop, check them out. The Smile, which I think is Tom York's band, right? Or is it Johnny Greenwood? One of the Radiohead guys is in it, I think. I think it's Tom York. They're releasing their sophomore record. It's called Wall of Eyes.
Yeah, it's... Oh, wait.
Hang on, I'm waiting for the confirmation.
The Smile are an English rock band comprising the Radiohead members Tom York and Johnny Greenwood. Wait, what? With
oh, it's
Tom
got
Skinner.
Both of them.
Yeah, you were doubly right.
Well, there we go. Their first album never really hit me. Like, it got on lots of end of year lists, and I tried it, but I was like, don't care. Anyway, next up, Torres is releasing a new album called What an Enormous Room, which is a great name for an album. What an Enormous Room. I have no idea what to expect from that, but hopefully it's great. Yusuf Days is releasing an album called Live from Malibu, On the album cover, it's billed as the Yusuf Days Experience, but I think on streaming it's coming up as Yusuf Days, presumably just to make sure it comes up on his artist page. But presumably a live record, so if you liked his album, potentially based on our review from last year, maybe check that out. And finally, Gruff Rhys, the former... He was the Super Fury, Furry... What are they called? Super Furry Animals frontman. Is that right? Is releasing a new record called Sadness Sets Me Free, which I've listened to some of the singles from, and I'm not, like, a big Gruff Rhys fan. Like, I only really know him from Super Fast Jellyfish, the Gorillaz track that he was on. But the singles sound really good, so I'd recommend maybe checking this one out.
I've just looked up the Torres What an Enormous Room album art, and like that's a big room. I'll say that.
Is it actually?
I'd say that's pretty
room?
Enormous.
Wow.
It looks pretty enormous to me.
I mean, at least she's not baiting and switching us. You know, if you're promising an enormous room, you'd better give it to me.
I bet you could do a lot in that room.
As rooms go, it's large.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's it for upcoming releases, and that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, James and Elle, for joining me.
Thank you.
Yes.
If you like the show, you can subscribe on your podcast service of choice. New episodes come out every Monday. If you're likely to forget, you can turn on notifications in your podcast app through various means, depending on the app. If you want to get in touch with us, you can drop us an email at unmutedunmastered@gmail.com. I can now announce that the album for next week is Plastic Death by Glass Beach.